Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life. I'm doing this intro from bed. Is that acceptable? I don't know. A mate of mine called me while he was taking a shit the other day, and I sort of discovered as he flushed, and I told him I thought it was unacceptable, but he said it was fine. Is it acceptable to do that? I was about to say, tweet me and let me know. I don't want to have a discussion about it. I just thought it was an interesting point. Anyway, today's Hip Hop Save My Life, what an insane intro, is features, I'm delighted to say, League of Their Own team captain and very good friend Jamie Redknapp. He knows his stuff, he loves his hip hop. We sort of talk about his kind of old school upbringing in hip hop. We chat a little bit about football. It's a good episode. I think you're going to like it. When people say that, I do think it's a good episode. When people say it's a good episode, it immediately, I think it smacks of desperation. That's what it feels like to me. It's a good episode. It's like I'm selling it to you or something. Anyway, it's up to you. Make up your own fucking mind. But here we go. Jamie Redknapp. Enjoy.
This is the Hip Hop Save My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life. I'm here with Rumadge. Hello, Rumadge.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good. You?
Not bad.
Episode 71?
I don't know what episode it is.
Yeah.
We got the live one coming up in April, haven't we? That's exciting.
Oh, yeah, Rag and Bone.
I got absolutely fucked on Twitter because apparently loads of the tickets went on... Is it Viagogo?
Oh, yeah. Is it dodgy, that site?
Or I don't think it's dodgy, but they just charge loads more. Anyway, this is bullshit chat. Let's get into our guest. We're buzzing, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're excited. He's a good mate of mine. He's a football legend. He's a League of Their Own team captain, and he's brilliant on that. And he's one of the top five pundits on Sky Sports. Can you please give it up for Jamie Redknapp? Hello, yes, Jamie. Mate. How
yes,
are you?
Yes, mate. Top five. You've only got five. You're not nice to me, Rob.
How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm great, mate. Thank you for having me on. We've been talking about this for a while,
I know.
So it's nice to finally be on with
it
you.
It was feeling like it was going to be one of those ones where it just never happens, and then we constantly say, you know, like when you promised to meet up for a drink with someone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like that.
Never,
we've hooked it up. We went to Dublin the other day, didn't we?
We did.
How did you find it? We had to go to Dublin.
What was that for, yeah?
We're doing like a Sky promotion thing. Mm. So we had to fly to Dublin, do the thing for 2 hours and then come back. And Jamie Redknapp, right, I didn't know this about... Because he... Well, I'd never been on a plane with Jamie before. He is so chilled out about travelling, man. Like, that dude, like, you've got like a confidence... Where you think the plane's just going to wait for you?
it was me, Jamie,
and Rob Beckett, and me and Rob were like
panicking.
Yeah, because we just wanted to get on the fucking plane, right? Yeah. And then Jamie was like, at one point he actually goes, "You boys are embarrassing."
Yeah, it was like a school trip.
Like, where's my passport?
Honestly, they're sat in 1A and 1B. As soon as the plane stopped, their coats are on, and they both looked the same. They had these puffer jackets on with hoods.
Are they the guys who get their stand up when
the
seatbelt thing? Horrible to know.
Amen. But this is the thing. So we did the Sky thing, and it's proper rushed, wasn't it? Like, it was like it was a mad schedule. And then, first of all, Jamie had to have a Guinness before we
One in Rome.
So we do that. So the car's waiting for us, but we go to the pub, and then we're cutting it so fine. I felt like we were cutting it fine on the way back from Dublin.
Yeah.
We're running through the thing. The gate's miles away. There's about 1,000 gates at Dublin Airport. I don't know if you know about
it. We were the furthest gate as well.
Yeah, it was insane. Jamie stops. Right, you guys, I'm just going to nip to the toilet. Fine, if somebody needs a piss, I'm not going to hold that against them. We get onto the plane, then Rob and I start getting really excited. Bearing in mind, Jay said he has to get this flight, right?
So you're not that fast.
Well, I wanted to get back. Yeah. I had a gig, but Jamie had something like actually genuinely important to
get
back.
Yeah, my little boy had a play, you know, Mary Poppins. It was a big, big family moment.
So if he misses that, because, well, you're in the shit then, aren't you, basically? Yeah. So he goes to the toilet, we rush ahead, we're sitting on the plane, and then we start getting really excited because there's a real possibility that Jay's going to miss the plane, right? So we're sort of worried about him, but at the same time, we're kind of buzzing because we think, oh, it's just going to go down, right? And then, I promise you, Jay, this is what happened. I go to the, I went to the guy, the hostie on there, who's a bit of a, I found him over familiar, if I'm being honest. Right. But he goes to me, I go to him, are we going now? Like, are we going to have to like shut the door and go now? He goes, well, it depends who we're waiting on. He goes, who is it you're waiting on? I said, Jamie Redknapp. And he goes, oh, no, we'll hold the plane for him.
Wow.
Well,
that's how I roll.
Then he gets on the plane. Not only has he been in the toilet, he stopped off to buy fucking sweets.
It's insane.
Yeah, you did. You did. Yeah. Yeah, they had gelatin in. I couldn't have them, but it was still the thought that counts.
It was the thought that counts.
But you know when somebody's so chilled out in that context? My respect for you, I just thought this is I just didn't expect you to be that cool about getting the plane. Why is that?
Did that make you think he's cooler? Or
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought you're cooler.
But the nice thing was, when I got on the plane, it was obviously quite busy. Rob and Rom decided to go, Jamie Redknapp, everybody!
Oh, God.
So I'm like, oh, I'm not good at that much. That's not really my, you know.
So, Jay, listen, thank you for being so nice to me on League of Their Own. We've become good friends, haven't we?
Yeah.
What is it like? I haven't asked you this on the show. What is it like being that good looking? Just. What is it?
You should know, man.
You do, I know. And I love the change, don't you? You must have noticed, obviously, working with him from one to this now. And you see the hair, the style. You know, he's just changed.
He's got an orange
much.
T-shirt on today.
I know.
Sort of easy jet colour. It's looking good.
No, it's cool, mate. It's the dream working with you. You make it so
man,
easy.
Man, you guys, I said this on a podcast before, your Stormzy duet. Incredible.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you.
I genuinely was proud to say Romish was my friend watching that.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yes, Rob, let's have this moment! You're getting way too big for your boots. Never too big for the boot. I got the big size drawers on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boot. Jamie, kick up to you. Man, no guy, kick up to you. Big boy, they're trying to stop the truth. How dare you to stop the truth? Wanna come round here like a bad boy, do it. Find all the talking, go and do it. Run through the party, bottle of Bacardi, rolls in my ear, say, go do it. Devil on my shoulder, I don't knock. Hit with a coma, I don't strap. Even when I'm sober, I'm so gassy, why? But there's no car and no mash.
That was in our grime days. We're more hip hop now.
But that was, I would think there's a lot of pressure on that, wasn't there? Because like
more so for you, well, because you had to do a lot more than me. I just sort of jumped about
the hype,
the hype man, the hype melt.
But you say you didn't know it was such a big production.
Well, that's the thing, because they said, oh, we're going to get you to do Stormzy in the studio. And the thing is, the truth is, you know, like Jay, well, like, when you do any kind of rapping in a studio, you get a bit of a round of applause because
you're rapping.
Because you've rapped, and then you stop, and then people applaud, right? When they showed us that they had the full choir, and then they had the rain and all that shit, that did step up. And also, the other thing is the rain means that you can't really do multiple. You can't do multiple takes because they've not got a massive fucking body dryer.
So no, exactly. And Patrice Evra was there that day, wasn't he? Yeah. He was watching. And I'm like, and I'm just doing it. I'm looking at him thinking, what must you be thinking of us?
I know.
It was mad.
You got any more planned?
I don't. Well, the thing is after we did that, we were like when it went out, because you met Stormzy the next day, right?
Yeah.
Where was that?
I met him at the FIFA Awards and. He was really cool, and I said to him, you know what, I'm so pleased I've seen you. I can't wait to send this photo to Ramesh because we've just done something. It was actually the day after it went out. It wasn't the day after we did it, which was even better to a certain extent. And he said, no, I've heard about it. It's so funny. And I followed him on Instagram. I've not had a follow back, but you know, that's all right. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. Days. I'm all right about it.
Try and play it cool like that.
Yeah.
You did De La Soul, though, didn't you?
I've been so lucky. I did De La Soul, which was... Because that's almost like a bit of a... The way... people sort of joke about it on the show. Oh, yeah, you think you're like, you know, that you love hip hop, but I genuinely do.
Yeah, you can
so
tell.
I sort of made it a bit of a thing, and then obviously to do the stuff with De La Soul, who played a massive part in my like childhood to a certain extent, or more sort of teens, and then also did John Barnes' Rapper's Delight, which is just amazing. So I'm sure we'll talk about John more later because he's a big influence on my hip hop career, I would say.
But like the fact that you, because was De La Soul your idea, or how did that come about?
David Taylor, actually, who's a producer, mentioned it. He said that De La Soul are in town. Would you like to do something with them? Because there was also talk we would do something with Public Enemy.
Are you serious?
I was a big Public Enemy fan.
We've done that, mate.
You
have.
Yeah.
That, go on. Anyway,
so that's been so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something happened. They weren't around. And then De La Soul came into town. And because 3 Feet High and Rising was just a wicked album, wasn't it? And then to get up and, I think we did, was it Me, Myself and I? I'm sure
it was.
Yeah, and it was brilliant. I mean, I was horrendous, but they were like...
What were they like?
They were a little bit, to start with, a bit... Not, I wouldn't say standoffish was the right word, because they thought, is this going to be a Mickey tape?
Yeah,
does this guy like hip-hop?
Yeah,
were they joking with us? And, you know... And they, when they realised...
Because they would have been watching the rest of the show, or they would have seen the show, and they're thinking, what the fuck is it? Do you know what I mean?
Like, I know. And then actually they realised, you know, and I talked about their album and how much I love their music. Then I suppose you just warm up a little bit. You realise it's not just like a joke. And, of course, sometimes these guys, they come and want the money and they come over, it's fine. But they were actually really nice. And in the end, it was amazing for me, you know, because I'm such a big fan.
Yeah.
That was cool. And you know what it's like there. When they do it, it's such a big production. Obviously, Tom's been on it, Tom Davis and Zahav Rom. If they do it, they do it right and they go big, you know, and it was quite a quite
yeah, that
cool
Stormzy
thing,
was well, it's next level television. I don't want to.
It's not. Is it up for a BAFTA or
it should be?
It should be. Yeah. Who knows? Do they do like BAFTA for like sickest moment?
Yeah.
In entertainment,
they're bringing it in this year.
Here's a little bit that you like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
So basically, Jamie, you are a hip hop fan. How did you sort of get into it?
Growing up, my dad was he was a real soul music man. So we used to go to a friend of his and during the week, and actually on a Sunday for some reason. It always been a Sunday evening, and he had this amazing house. He was a director at Bournemouth when Dad was a manager there. And he used to do like mixtapes for Dad. So Dad loved it, like Luther Vandross and Barry White, you know, all sort of soul R&B music. And I think that's where... Like, there's so many samples have been taken. That's where I think where my love of music like that came about. And then when I was sort of 14, 15...
Did your dad get his groove on and that?
I think he did. But I don't like to think about that, if I'm honest.
That tape was made specifically for that.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's loved his soul music, my
really,
dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. So, and then when I was an apprentice at Bournemouth, which is like with your... before you become a pro, they call it an apprentice sort of thing. And a lot of the boys there, like... Growing up in Bournemouth, I don't know what it was. My brother was 3 years older than me, and he loved hip hop. So when NWA came out, Public Enemy, you know, JVC Force, all that sort of stuff, it was like, this is amazing, and we were so into it. And I think that's where my love started to come about. And my mate, one of my mates, his name Dean Giddens. I spoke to him last night when I said I was doing this. I said, Dino, because we used to just listen to hip hop all the time. You know, two white boys, that little midfield. You know, both of us, we thought we were coming straight out of Compton. You
know what I mean? Taking it really seriously,
really seriously. But I've always loved it since then. Really.
Yeah. Did you start dressing like it? At all?
Well, like, no, in those days, so you'd go, there was a shop in East London called Dice, probably 40, how old are you, Rom?
40.
So I'm 45, so we used to go there and you'd get like Tashini tracksuits.
He's 5 years older than me, looks 15 years younger than me.
I know. You know, the Diodora trainers and that. So like we used to love the clothes and obviously that was probably a little bit before that. But, and then, I think that's really, really where it came about. And then obviously moving to Liverpool, and John Barnes was my... hero growing up. And I remember the first time I got on the bus to go to a game with John, and he said, come sit next to me, and we're chatting away, and then we just started talking about hip hop.
What was it like? So John Barnes is your hero,
and
then you go and sit and chat with him. What were you like? Were you cool? Or
straight into the first team?
Well, I'd signed as a 17 year old, and there was a little bit of fuss because I was a sort of biggish money signing at the time as a teenager, and And I think because John had signed, and he knew, I think Kenny Dalglish, the manager, said to him, look, this kid, like, you know, loves you. I have pictures on my wall, John. And I just, he was such a, my hero, yeah, the way he played and amazing. How cool he was. And then he said, listen, I'll let you know, I just started asking questions about me. I had long hair. And, you know, and it was, I don't know who's grooming me, to be honest, but.
I just wanted a friend.
Yeah.
In the team.
And then we used to go to Widnes. There was a shop in Widnes that sold all the, like, the newest tunes. That, and, like, remember going there to Brand Nubian. I don't know, just had an album. So we'd go to Widnes just to go to this shop to buy the album and together. And it was all part of the thing. And,
holy shit, so you used to go and buy hip-hop with John Barnes?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Right? What format?
We used to buy them on CDs.
Rupert, one thing you need to about Rupert is obsessive format. Yeah. That's like your favourite thing about music. Like
well, it might be in cassette.
They could have been,
busting out cassettes. So.
Yeah, or mini disc maybe.
Play on the bus.
No, mini disc.
I never got into mini discs.
Did you not?
No.
I was banging to them, mate.
Wait.
Mini disc? You ever owned a mini disc?
No, I didn't. No. Did you like that? Was it
set? No, I was never into them.
Oh, you never
were? No.
There's a good 6 months when people thought mini discs were the future, right? Yeah. And then they just went tits up. Yeah. Because the thing is, I started dressing like it, and that makes sense when you know that you're listening to hip hop.
Yeah.
But you're in England, so like you just dress like
you look mad.
Dress fucking insane.
Yeah.
I remember like I was obsessed with Public Enemy. You know, Flavor Flav used to wear those bright coloured coats.
Yeah. You didn't wear a clock, did you?
No, I didn't wear a clock. No, I didn't go to
cool.
school.
Yeah.
But I wore a bright coloured coat, like I've got, and I thought I looked like Flavor Flav.
Yeah,
but
I had a Helly Hansen.
But people just think you look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, you said that Helly Hansen. I'm wearing a Helly Hansen coat today, so obviously I haven't left it behind.
But this is before they were like, this was like a gen. Mine was like green, white, and blue, like a proper sailing one.
Yeah.
But you must have had the Timberlands, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was all part. Yeah, so I suppose to a certain extent we all did, didn't we?
Yeah.
How big was hip hop in the dressing room then? Was it like?
Yeah, it was the thing. You know, it was always. But I suppose at Liverpool had this. At Bournemouth, but when I was at Bournemouth, that's all we used to listen to. Dean, my mate Dean, we used to. Before a game, you know, you'd have your Walkman, you'd have your music, your cassette, and you'd just be listening to, you know, NWA, and it was weird, you know, because it just meant so much listening to it before a game, and it always made you feel good to play.
So when you hear those sort of tunes now, you go back to that time.
I love it, and especially I've got a 14-year-old son, and don't get me wrong, I know some of the lyrics are not ideal for a 14-year-old boy, but what, you know, he loves NWA now, and I got
your
son
and loves
Dr. Dre, and Dre, and all that, because it's I suppose because if you like that kind of music, and it's more the beats than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, like when I try to think of songs that, you know. The first time I heard that JVC voice, you know that bit? Strong Island.
Listen to the situation, my son. I'm as serious as cancer, all fun and done. For the time, the people correspond, the rhymes to is valid. The best you will find.
Living in CI, who the hell am I? Agent Rock, the juice, I can fly. Cool with the riffing guy, keep a handle. Cause if you don't, I wax it down like a candle.
That was what got it for me, and I was like, I've always loved that sort of beat and certain songs, and I'm so happy that my son loves it. So we have this common thing where we listen to it, so it just almost carries it on to a certain extent.
Mate, I cannot do this. My kids are not. I mean, my eldest son's 9, so maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's not ideal. NWA at 9. Let's give it a few years.
I've been trying to put a bit of hip hop on.
You could do radio friendly versions, can you?
Well, I did. We've done a radio friend. I've done a radio friendly playlist on Spotify.
Yeah.
Hard to do, though, isn't it?
It is hard to do. And also, it turns out I haven't done it properly. Because a few people tweeted me saying, that playlist you did, we put it on in like having a garden party, and there's some of it that's...
Yeah, I know.
But my kids don't like it. Well, my younger kids, they're not going to like it. They're like George Ezra and stuff like that. But my oldest son, he's just like, this sounds boring to me.
Yeah.
Like, it was really
quite nice, actually, because my son kept saying to me, you've got to listen to Drake, Dad. And I'm like, it's not, he's a bit, I don't know. And then... Since I have started listening to it, I think he's a genius. I think he's amazing at what he does as well. We were talking about it last time, actually, and you like him, obviously, but you said just to...
Well, we had Marlon Davis on this podcast, comedian, and up until Marlon came on, I was like super anti-Drake. Mm. Same like you, do you know what I mean? You just sort of think it's not for me, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then Marlon was going, look, just listen to it with an open mind. And I did, and I'm not a huge fan, but... Same as you, really, I guess. I sort of thought, yeah, the guy's good. Do you know what I mean? He knows what he's doing.
And Post Malone as well. My 10-year-old, like, he loves Post Malone.
Right.
And so on the way to a football match, he's...
Your 10-year-old?
Yeah.
And your kids are so much cooler than mine.
I don't know, mate. Give it time. They get to the tens.
Yeah, all right, fine.
One more year.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
He's got 12 months to fucking get his game together.
Yeah, exactly. And I think my ex-wife, she was obviously into music, and I think that's probably where that comes from as well a little bit. So it's quite a big influence in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And so you listen to the same shit. Is there anything that... So, but the difference is though is listen. Your kids listen to hip hop is one thing. It's the fact that your kids listen to that old what we it sound. It makes me feel old to say it, but old school shit like N.W.A. and Dre. So they like all that as well. Yeah,
More so I would say. Yeah,
oh, really?
Like, Charlie's always saying to my oldest boy, "What did you used to listen to, Dad? Can we listen to some of the stuff that you listen to?" And that really pleases me actually because I think that's it was raw and you know you go back to some of the older stuff and I think that's what they really like.
When Still Dre starts that, dun, 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 oh my god,
wicked!
It's unbelievable. Some tunes, the start of some tunes is just like it's Still Dre getting jiggy with it.
But Dre was unbelievable. Or he still is.
Yeah.
You know. We're just talking about The Chronic. That's that album.
Yeah.
Yeah, banging. I saw a photo of him the other day. He looks got a beard. And he's very great. He looks very old.
Yeah, but he's also, like, he's really...
Sort of wise.
He's also been doing a lot of lifting, hasn't he?
Oh, is he?
Has he?
Getting pumped.
He looks like... Him and Timbaland. I don't know if you've seen a photo of Timbaland at all recently. They both look... They look like squares. Like, they've just gone absolute tonk. It looks weird.
Hey, man, what's your favourite hip-hop album?
So, Dre the Chronic was one of your favourites. Do you have, like, a couple of, like, your favourite all-time albums?
I think Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
The Chronic. Public Enemy, you know, It Takes a Nation to Hold Millions to Hold Us Back. Was one of the great. That would probably be, if you said my favourite ever album, I would say that.
How low can you go? Death row? What a brother, no. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the uncannibal thief. Public Enemy number one. 5-4 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell them that I really never had a gun? But it's the wax that the Terminator X bun. Now they got
this is unbelievable. Could you imagine that Jamie Redknapp's into Takes a Nation of Millions? Blows my mind.
No, it was.
Blows my mind. I'm using that too much, man. It doesn't blow my mind.
Were there people in the Liverpool dressing room who didn't like hip hop?
Yeah, Jan Mulby wasn't having it.
Oh, really? No. What was he into?
Yeah, I remember putting it on one day. We were going in Germany or something. I was very young. And if you can imagine that dressing room, it was fierce. You know, you had like title winners and big characters. And I'm a 18-year-old boy from Bournemouth. Mm. And you know, you're sort of trying to find your way, but I knew them, you know, how far to push it. Yeah. And someone said, "Oh, we've got some music." And I put my hand up a little bit and said, "I've got some." And they put it on and John, I was just like, "Yeah, get it." And after about 5 minutes, "Get this shit off." You know, and I was like, "Oh my God." And it was good stuff as well, I promise, you know. But I had no chance with that.
How does it work in the dressing room with music? Like, because obviously, do people just take turns?
The first team ever to play music before a game was Wimbledon, really. Do you remember that? With the crazy game.
Yeah.
So they'd come to Anfield, you know, and I remember my first...
Did you shit yourselves when you had to play them?
Well, when I just signed for Liverpool and I was 18, the first week I got into the squad, I was on the bench.
Right.
And we played Wimbledon that day and they had like their beatbox at the time and Vinnie Jones so Liverpool never did music. They were almost too cool for that. They were the champions. They were the best team. And I remember just as you used to come up the stairs at Anfield and you could hear like Vinnie and all the music and all the fashion would have his top off and you know just in the bit and trying to intimidate you. That's what they did. I can't remember what music they used to have, to be honest, but it was a bit like it was quite, you know, they used to, they used to try and intimidate you a bit.
Have you seen Vinnie Jones has started a flooring company?
Has he? What, here or LA?
No, here. I was listening to Talk Sport last night, hearing about Arsenal's absolute fucking travesty. And this advert came on, just Vinnie Jones like doing floorings.
What, is his own company? Him or he's just the voice of it?
No, it's his company.
Wow. What's the catchphrase? What's the sort of...
We're the mutts or something
we'll
like
floor
that.
We'll floor you.
No, do you know what?
That would have been better.
You just freestyled an amazing tagline. It wasn't
Vinnie.
Yeah.
No.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because I split tools with my mate Dean last night, and so we were going through albums that we liked. Right, Stetsasonic. Go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was wicked.
Yeah.
Like the Jungle Brothers, obviously. EPMD.
So Africa,
business.
So Africa Baby Bam from the Jungle Brothers.
Yeah.
He lives in, do you know he lives in Ruislip now?
No way.
He does. Is it Ruislip?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sure it's Ruislip. He came onto the podcast. He lives in the UK.
Really?
It's so fucking mad.
He was brought, because he wanted to get in.
I've got to be honest with you, I found it slightly embarrassing because when he came on the podcast, me and Rupert, because we got one of the fucking Jungle Brothers in the thing, we just became such fam. It was like,
really,
I like to think of myself as like unswayed by celebrity or stardom or whatever.
Giddy.
Yeah, but everything he said, I was like, yeah, yeah, no, I know, native tongues, yeah, I know, totally, yeah, yeah, carry on, baby bam, yeah.
I know it is. Do you, and then you find yourself wanting to show how much you know by almost doing the lyrics to him.
Yeah,
and, that,
you know? So and then you forget awful.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Oh, God. I remember, like, when I first met Jack D, like, I used to be so obsessed with... I mean, Jack D's an amazing comedian, but, like, I remember, like, when I first met him, saying one of his routines, like, the lines from one of his routines. I thought it was so funny when you went, did it? And he went, yeah, thank you. And then I realised now, that is... so shit.
Yeah, but cool in a way. Yeah. Nah, never be afraid. Never be afraid to be a fan. I think it's quite cool, you know, when someone comes up to you and, you know, it's like, how nice if you've had a great song out and they go, you know, I love that song.
Yeah.
Or, I loved your film. Yeah. Or, I love, you know, as long as you mean it and you know you're not just doing it to be.
Yeah,
you know.
Although I was with Frank Lampard like ages ago when we were doing Play to the Whistle. I don't know if you heard about that show. Sort of.
No, I don't. It just felt a bit uncomfortable really when you were with us.
It's a good idea.
And then you left, and then you came back. But anyway, let's move on.
So he
was he funnier than me?
Absolutely, Jay. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Yes.
He's just got it naturally. Like, you know, it's different. You're both funny.
No, do you know,
but
I
it just
Frank.
Sort of comes
my
to
my cousin.
Him. Yeah, I know. But he said to me that one of the things that he has is like sometimes he'll bump in. Someone will go, "Can I have a photo?" And he goes, yeah. And then he said he'll always be polite and, you know, it's nice. But he said they'll then relive his Chelsea career with him. Do you know what I mean? They'll go, and then you did this. And then, like, do you remember when you got...
And there's a lot of goals to relive there, isn't there?
Do you have that? Do you have people just start going, and then you did this, Jay, and it was, like, unbelievable and blah.
Yeah, but it's nice when someone comes up and you say, oh, you remember that game or that goal or... you know, something you did. It's quite nice now because the fact that you've retired a long time ago and you've sort of gone into doing more. A lot of people talk about League of Their Own now.
Yeah,
you know, the fact, I don't know what it's like for you, but people seem to love the show. And...
Well, actually, League of Their Own, that I didn't realise how much of a cultural, not cultural, I'm exaggerating there, but what I mean is how many people just know, because as soon as I went on League of Their Own, like loads of people going to me, well, that feels like you've made it now. Do you know what I mean? Like, League of Their Own. Like, they didn't give a shit about anything else, did they?
Yeah. We did Rapper's Delight, John Barnes and I, League of Their Own, I meant to say. Did you see? You weren't on the show then, were you,
no,
when we
I
did
wasn't,
that?
I hadn't got to the requisite.
So he did the first bit. And I would actually say, you know, like, in hip-hop, what was your breakthrough moment? That was it for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was it.
That was your best live experience.
Yeah. Because I was so nervous, and John killed the first bit. And it's like you said, you can't come out and do it again. And John came out with the first bit, and I liked to come in with the second bit.
Bang, bang, to the boogie, set up, drum the boogie, to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock. Yeah, don't stop, rock the rhythm, that'll make your body rock. Well, so far you've heard my voice, but I brought one friend along. And next on the mic is my man Jay. Come on, Jay, sing that song.
Check it out. I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-D-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. See, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why.
Yes!
See, I'm 6'1" and I'm tons of fun, and I dress to a T. See, I got more clothes than Muhammad Ali, and I dress so viciously. Hear me talking about checkbook.
And the coolest thing is now my little boy who came that night to watch it, he knows all the lyrics to Rapper's Delight.
Does he?
Yeah, I'm buzzing with that.
Were you nervous doing it with Johnny Barnes?
Yeah, of course.
The magical Johnny Barnes.
Yeah.
Is he still into hip hop now?
Yeah, that's it.
Like, what, hunts down new stuff?
Yeah. No, I would say he'd be a bit more like me, a bit more the old stuff.
Yeah.
It's too much fucking effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you not think? I struggle to stay across it all. I mean, I'm only trying to stay across it all because it's a podcast.
What's your favourite now, Rump?
What, right now?
Yeah, who would you listen to if you had, you know?
Well, I think Kendrick Lamar's amazing.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole. I like some of the old school. Whenever the old school, like Rupert and I were just talking before you got here, whenever like one of the guys that, like from back in the day, brings out a new album, I still get excited. Like Method Man brought out a new album, and then we all get excited. Redman's doing stuff, and I get excited. Do you know what I mean? Anything from Wu-Tang, I get excited.
Yeah.
Even though most of it is.
Yeah. Are you going to go to the? Because there's a
wink, mate.
We're going.
We're trying to
the
gods of rap.
Yeah, we're trying to do some podcasts from there. Is the plan, isn't it?
Jay and I are going to. We're all going to go together, Jay. It's going to be sick.
Yeah, we're going to go.
Although my brother is really into R&B, and he went to see the R&B equivalent.
Who's on the line?
So it was like Joe. Jodeci.
Jodeci, wicked. I
think it was like Ginuwine, maybe.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
I know. I know the feeling.
He said
you
that.
Know, it's like when you see. I know, it's like when you get the players, and when you see John Barnes play now,
yeah,
it just hurts.
Are you listening to modern stuff now? Modern stuff?
Yeah, more so. Like what you said before, Kendrick Lamar, Drake. And almost what my kids listen to, that Charlie will say to me, my oldest son, "Dad, have you heard this song?" And I love it when I speak to him, because he's so into his music. And I wouldn't be surprised if he even goes that way, you know.
As in actually becomes a rapper?
No, even sort of into the music industry as some sort,
because he's
passionate about music and he's got great taste.
Is he not fussed about football?
Rugby.
Rugby.
Yeah, he's a rugby player. He's just got picked for Surrey under 15. So well done, Charlie boy.
Well done, Charlie.
He's a big unit. But no, he loves his music. And it's nothing better. And you'll get it when your kids get older and they say you've got a song that you loved in the past, and they go, "Dad, what about, remember this tune?" And he's like, "Yeah, I love this one. It's cool."
The problem, what are they like with films? Like, do you... Rupert's a relatively new father.
Oh, nice. 10-month-old girl.
10-month-old girl, yeah.
What's she into? What hip-hop?
I put it on, but it doesn't fit out yet.
Yeah. No, be patient.
Do you know what? With films, right? Because music, you sort of think music is kind of timeless. The good stuff is, right?
Yeah.
Maybe hip-hop less so, because hip-hop changes so much. So it sounds... Hip-hop sounds very dated, or it can sound dated because it changes so much. So like we love Takes a Nation of Millions because... When it came out, it was so ahead of its time. It's an amazing.
Yeah.
Everything's changed since then. So if you put on It Takes a Nation of Millions to a hip-hop fan now that we're not aware of Public Enemy, I don't think they're going to go, "This is amazing." They're just going to go, "Okay, this sounds like old hip-hop." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's the films that, like, I get really... Like, I sort of put on films for my kids. Like, I love Back to the Future trilogy, right, and all that shit. And I love Star Wars. And my son's into Star Wars, but he's into all the new ones. And then when I put on a film that I like from like back in there, I start getting nervous because like those films, our attention spans are a lot longer than kids today.
Yeah.
Kids today can't focus on anything for more than like 7 to 8 seconds.
I know.
So if you watch like Force Awakens, it's just like bang, 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 bang. Whereas like you watch Star Wars, there's a fucking bit where Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan are having a chat in his living room for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking, it goes on for... There's no way my kids are going to sit there and watch that, man. Do you know what I mean?
How many Snapchats could the kid do in that period right now? You know, it is. It's unbelievable. And you end up fighting. Do you do this thing as well, Ron, where you, when you say we're going to watch this tonight, and you end up selling it to them so much because you want them to believe it's going to be good, and you go like, you know, the
They're
first
out
time
within
we watch
5 minutes. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. What are your kids? My kids are into YouTubers, so they
unbelievable.
Yeah. So my kids spend most of their time watching. This has become like the parenting podcast, but it's fine. He says, trying
if
to reassure
us. If we just play hip-hop underneath.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking the other day, Rob, it's never going to catch on, by the way, because I wouldn't want it to. But even football, now, 90 minutes feels like sometimes, is there going to be a form where it goes shorter for people? Because it just can't.
Like they do with cricket.
Yeah, because it just feels that football is... 90 minutes, going to the game, it's an occasion you take. You go with family, you go with your dad, whatever. Just love it. But it feels that the way that the world's going is an attention deficit people disorders. It's like, have people got the patience to sit at home and watch a game? It just feels like they haven't.
Mate, that the idea of them shortening football, mate, I'd never even thought of that. It feels, but that is such a great shout. Like, I don't know if it's a good idea. But it certainly is. It does feel like something.
Well, imagine if it had, tell you what, how, like, for, in terms of you did 20 minutes, and players would just, the games would be different because you wouldn't, the players that could perform for 90 minutes wouldn't be as important. You just want your explosive players that are going to come out and you know you've got to score. Who knows? We might be onto something here, guys.
This is a good idea. Is this your idea?
No. But just thought, I was thinking about it yesterday in terms of how people's attention is so, you know, they haven't got that attention span anymore. And imagine as well, like this, we could add this to it, Rom. Let's do this, right? We'll add hip hop, old school music while the game's
short
going
tunes,
on.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, just snippets.
Because my kid actually, they do, when they train, sometimes they put music on in there. And it's so weird. The difference I see with the kids, like my little boy is on his, when the music's on, they just move so lovely and differently because, because they play it quite loudly in the dome. I swear, this is the truth. They do it at Chelsea with the academy kids and it makes a real difference and the music's pumping and obviously it'll
be like trying to do it to a sort of soundtrack.
Yeah, it makes it a bit more fun. Yeah. So the kids are like, you know, doing all the, you know.
Do you ever put on hip hop when you're like walking around town?
Yeah.
And then you suddenly feel like you're in a movie and this is the soundtrack and you start bopping a bit. Do you do that?
Mm.
Good, thank you. I did it on the way here. Huh?
I did it on the way here.
Did you? I did that.
And put him on J Cross on.
Yeah. Nice.
And he sort of turned the music off and cut back to reality.
I tried to get into running for a bit. Do you run?
I can't. My knees are no good.
Right.
Run.
So I tried to do it. Because I started doing boxing training. And the guy goes, you need to run. So I started trying to run. And then I would put on music. And then somebody told me that I'm not engaging with the run by putting on music. They told me that, like, actually what you need to do is have the sound of your breathing, hear your feet hitting the asphalt or whatever.
Yeah, it's all right for Mo Farah.
I just thought, fuck that, man. I need to be taken out of it.
Of course.
I would watch a film to take my sensory awareness away from the fact I'm doing a run. You know what I mean? Like,
I get what that person's selling you, but it just feels like you want to have that. Get out, because it's not nice, is it?
No.
You know, it's a hard, especially if you have a half an hour run. It's, you know,
also, nice, I'm hugely depressive. I mean, I don't want to be on my own with my thoughts. I mean, that's constantly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Either talking to people or drowning out my brain with music. Like, once, I was in the car. I was, like, getting a car home. I think it might have been from league or something. And my phone ran out of battery. And so I had no music. And I just sat in the car. And then my brain just started giving me thoughts. And I thought, I can't survive. I'm not going to survive this fucking journey.
Throw yourself out the car. You've had a great show. Because your phone's gone. You know.
Okay, so did you ever go to live shows?
Yeah, I did, actually. I remember going to Cypress Hill in Liverpool. Which is a really cool... Like, Steve McManaman and Robbie Fowler, we were big Cypress Hill fans. So Macca,
there's a lot to unpack there, isn't
there? I know. So we went in there, and it's obviously a different crowd, probably to a lot of, you know, because there's a lot of young kids and everyone. So Macca and I, we went, we're gonna have to be careful how we do this, boy, because Robbie Fowler was the biggest thing in probably the world at the time, football-wise, as a striker. You know, Macca was an amazing player.
Loved scoring against Arsenal, obviously.
Loved it. And the three of us, we were in Liverpool. It's not easy for us to do certain things like that. So we thought, right, we're going to go. How are we going to go dress up? So right, let's just get right into it. Mm. Baggy sweatshirt, like with a hood. Orange T-shirt.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
What Ron's got on now. Yeah,
like glasses.
Seriously, no. So we got like the bobble, like the hat, not the bobble hat, the ones, you know, the with a Cypress. So when we bought a Cypress Hill hat, and the three of us had got what's the cannabis thing in it?
Oh, yeah, they had the little weed leaf.
The leaf, And we went. And
you're running. I mean that is a high risk strategy. I know you're trying to disguise yourselves, but then if you then get recognised, that's a fucking car crash.
But you know what is different though, Ron? There was no mobile phones with people taking photos. It's only word of mouth. And by the time people have found out you're there, it doesn't matter. But so anyway, we went that and it was amazing. And we got to we didn't get a chance to meet them after, but the smell of weed was unbelievable. And you know, those that you could smoke inside, so we stunk of it. So I remember the three of us going to training the next day, and I remember because Robbie Macken, we always used to walk.
Was it a good gig? Great gig. Right.
Yeah, amazing. I was a massive, you know, Cypress Hill fan.
Yeah, that first album.
That's a really good album.
Yeah. Well, the first two were great, right? So was it self-titled, their first one, and then Black Sunday.
The Shit Goes Down. What was that album?
Yeah, Black Sunday.
Is it Black Sunday? Yeah, Black Sunday. Yeah. That was a brilliant album.
Yeah.
And then we just smelt so much. I remember going the next day and I'm like looking at Robbie and he's, all our eyes are a bit bloodshot because he just couldn't help it.
Yeah.
And then if we get tested today, we're in big trouble.
And it would sound like an excuse if you were telling
me. I know. I don't know if you'd have got away with it, actually. Yeah. Would you have got away with that one?
No.
Probably not, but it was a brilliant gig, and it's fun. And it was, as I say, there are moments in your life where you like it was never forced. It was great that all the people in my life seemed to love, even though Steve McManaman, a really bright guy, super footballer, but loved hip hop as well. I loved Cypress Hill, and all my friends that I've gravitated towards all throughout my life have all been sort of, you know, love hip hop, and I think I love you, Rob.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, mate.
That was such a great ending to that bit. Did you get caught? Did you get spotted, sorry?
A lot of people, I think people just realised we went and it wasn't a major problem, but it was...
That makes you cooler, right? I mean, seeing you at a Cypress Hill gig, that would be... That's good, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't do it for that. We did it because it was really cool thing to go to. And the fact that you went and nobody knew you were there... But they sort of giving you a double take, you know, the three of us. And Stevie had long hair. Robbie was right in there. He was no one even had a clue. He just looked like a little scallywag from Liverpool. Yeah,
he's jumping off the stage.
Exactly.
My brother's obsessed with Robbie Fowler, not because of him as a footballer, because my brother's into property development.
Right. Yeah.
And he does these. He does these talks.
Who Robbie Fowler does?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's he absolutely smashed it, man. He's this property done.
Amazing.
And then my brother said because my brother's not into football at all, he goes, do you know Robbie Fowler? I go, I've heard of him, what? And then he's I'm going to go see his seminar or whatever. He's fucking on it, man.
Amazing. He's a great lad, Robbie.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, they both were. Robbie and Steve were just...
He was on Soccer AM recently and he was so funny, man.
Yeah,
he's a naturally funny bloke, isn't he?
I mean, you know what Scousers are like. They are funny people. They've got that real... I've not met one that hasn't got a cheeky quip or something to put you down if they want to, you know.
Absolutely awful place to go and gig.
Is it? Oh, because they're all funny than you, aren't they?
Yeah.
In a bad way, but that's what I think.
Yeah. And so, if... My experience of gigging in Liverpool is if they like you, they love you. You smash that gig, but... If you don't impress them within the first 30 seconds, you're dead.
Well, try playing football there. Honestly, I had a few times, we're not your shite. I'm better than you, lads. You know, and he probably was.
So what is there anything you listen to at the moment? Current albums?
Drake at the moment, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, do we class Post Malone as hip hop?
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
I really like the new one. Wow, I think that's a great tune.
Yeah.
G-Wagon, all the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys, 720S pumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning. Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the igloo in my mouth and I be grinning.
And I do love Post Malone.
Rita Ora went to Halloween parties dressed as Post Malone.
That was cool.
That was so cool.
Yeah. She looked great, didn't she?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I really like Post Malone. And he just strikes. I always find I don't know. I don't know what his background is. Obviously, it feels when you see him, he's got the tattoos on his face and everything like that. But I think he is so talented. You know, and how he got. And I like that. I love what he does. And I've listened to that. Essentials on. Apple Music, it's brilliant. You know, it's one after the other.
Apple Music, Apple Music, right? We're not sponsored by Apple or anything.
Guy.
But the app, yeah. I mean, I'm Spotify and Apple because things are going all right. But on Apple Music, that Essentials is amazing. And also, they put on, like, when you click on new hip-hop releases, like, that, you can stay across it with that market. It's so good. This, like, that's the thing that's great about music the way it is now.
Yeah.
I know we sort of see it as a bit disposable. I almost find it too fucking pressured. You know when, like, because you know when you put a song on, you think, I could listen to any song that's ever been basically on my phone, I can access any song ever.
Yeah, I know,
it's almost too
unbelievable,
much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all, it's, but like,
and also it can tell you what you want to hear, like Essentials for You, and you go, oh my god, I love this. How do you know I like this?
I'm gonna get it.
Oh, Apple, you go, Music,
Apple Music is great, mate.
What is your favorite albums of all time?
Of all time,
yeah.
Well, I think It Takes a Nation of Millions is unbelievable. Like, I think, like. Yeah, I would say It Takes a Nation. I mean, there's the obvious ones. It Takes a Nation of Millions, Straight Outta Compton. I think Takes a Nation of Millions is better than Straight Outta Compton.
First Nas.
First Nas album.
First, although, first Gangstar album as well. I've been listening to that.
I got into a little bit of a disagreement with DJ Semtex. You know Semtex?
Oh, yeah.
So Semtex tweeted me the other day saying, what's your favourite Nas album of all time? Are you a Nas fan?
Yeah.
So I said, everybody says Illmatic, don't they?
Yeah.
I said Stillmatic.
Because for a joke.
It's
or
a, I think it's a great album. Anyway, I got fucking rinsed.
You do.
I think Stillmatic's a great album. I still stand by it. I just think, like, anyway, this is so boring. But the point is, I think Stillmatic's better than Illmatic. There you go. Come at me.
You're going to get tweeted at a lot.
Yeah. I still, we still get people on the first episode of this, Jay, which is how long ago?
About 3 years ago.
3 years ago, I said, sort of half meaning it, Tupac couldn't rap. And I still get tweets about that. Jay, what are you like at spitting? I'm not going to ask you to do it now, by the way. Did you ever used to spit bars? I know we spit bars together, but did you ever, like, write your own shit?
Nah. No, I never.
I
knew my market. I laid the beats.
Right.
You know, as I said before, you know what I mean? Really, I lead the lyrics to the other ones.
Did you make beats?
Mate, I wish I had it done.
Well, I think we should. Well, actually, here's a thing we can do. If you've got an idea of what you think Jamie and I should do for the next series of League of Their Own, then let us know. Give us a shout. It has to be like
a cover.
But specific.
Yeah. Like, yeah, obviously, like, you don't say Black Moon, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's got to
be
something.
Where could we go, do you think, Ron? Because rappers that, like, would have been good for us, but that's been dumb.
I know. I don't know. It has to be like, I don't know, Stormzy's such a difficult one to beat, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of, like,
how big it was. To a bigger audience.
Exactly, all of that shit, yeah.
Well, Drake.
Yeah, but we can't do Drake.
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, like, Jay-Z's a funny one for me. I've never really got into Jay-Z that much.
Really?
I don't know why.
Are you a Jay-Z fan?
Yeah.
What do you think? What album would you recommend for Jay? Is like the,
what's the first one called? With the black and white cover, just a close up of his face.
Reasonable Doubt, you're talking about?
Yeah, that is incredible.
Okay, so Reasonable Doubt.
Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
Go
what about a bit of King B, backed by Dope Demand?
You can't beat that on the headphones, that tune. Absolutely.
On the headphones? Is that a headphone banger?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where you went your croissant to?
No. Cold, I'm a stiff of a bone. You're a heart of stone like nothing you've ever known. Freezing up a microphone like nothing ever shown. Cause every tone I play, I kill, and then I chill still. Feel what is left is what I like. If you don't agree, like.
Jamie, what are you up to at the moment? Is there anything you want to plug? I mean, I can't imagine there is.
No,
but
not really, to be honest. I am doing the football at the moment, which I love. Looking forward to June, July working again with you, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, Jamie, listen, it has been an absolute pleasure. Best guest of all time?
Right up there.
Yeah, 100%. Jamie Redknapp.
You could have said yeah.
Do it again.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it. And
it's been good. We've been talking about it for ages. It's great to get you. We'll get you back on.
I'd love that.
In fact, what we should do is we'll get you. Yeah, we should.
Tom.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Should we get you back on with Big Tom?
Please.
Yeah.
And then we'll have lunch after. We'll have a few drinks.
Yeah, all right, wicked. Nice one. Jamie Redknapp, thank you very much.
Thanks,
bye, Rupert.
Bye.